In the lee of a picturesque ridge lies a small, unpretentious winery, one that pampers its fruit like its own babies. Hi, I'm Moira Rose, and if you love fruit wine as much as I do, then you'll appreciate the craftsmanship and quality of a local vintner who brings the muskmelon goodness to his oak Chardonnay and the dazzling peach crab apple to his Riesling Rioja. Come taste the difference good fruit can make in your wine. You'll remember the experience, and you'll remember the name, Herb Erflinger, Bert Herngreif, Irv Herblinger, Bing Livehanger, Liveling, Bert Herkern, Bingo Ling.
TBTL!
Oh, look who decided to come in tardy. Now, don't think it's okay to just roll in here at 100 kilometers per hour like you're Joel Otto at the Calgary Flames, okay?
This Canadian rapped, "Jumpman, Jumpman, them boys up to something. I think I need some Robitussin."
Do you believe that?
I do if you do.
But it's absurd.
Are you going to get out there? For
what? Like, just, yeah.
Actions speak louder than demonstrations.
Let's get to some of the action right now.
Yeah. All right, hello, good morning, and welcome, everybody, to a Thursday morning edition of TBTL.
Jalapeno!
The show that just might be too beautiful to live. My name's Luke Burbank. I am your host.
He's a prisoner of his own grievances.
Coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill. In Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. Looking like we're going to have a decent day out here. Some sunshine happening, which of course means it's getting warm here in the broadcast center. So I've opened the door. But what that means is this band of rogue flies has been zooming in and out of the room.
Get out of here, you flies.
You could see me right now. If this were a video product and not just strictly audio, and by the way, you have no idea how lucky you are that this is an audio-only product, but if you could see me right now, you'd see that in my right hand I am holding a fly swatter. And so at any moment, because these are like not small flies, these flies are like Elon Musk could probably figure out how to hook his rocket to these guys and they could probably get that thing up to the space station. So at some point during the show, I may have to thwack a fly. So just be ready for that. I'm a very animal-loving person, generally speaking, but these flies are not on the list of protected species in my mind, for me anyway. So just be ready for that, everybody. So speaking of the SpaceX launch, I got delayed yesterday, which I was actually kind of bummed out about. But we can look forward to Saturday, I think, when the launch has been rescheduled. We can also look forward to, I don't know, the next hour or so of our lives together. It's episode 3,172 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
I saw this really amazing story in the New York Times today about this woman that's been spending, she basically, her mother, and then she took on the legacy of trying to breed, this has been going on for years in this family, trying to breed a house cat that looks exactly like a tiger.
We've bred a special breed.
It's called, wait for it, the Toyger. The T-O-Y-G-E-R, the Toyger. And the story of trying to breed it and other examples of animals in the wild breeding with animals that are similar to them but not exactly the same. For instance, polar bears and grizzly bears have been seen mating, and they think it has to do with climate change. Anyway, it's an interesting article which we will share with you. Then, speaking of animals in the wild, someone has been putting up fake murder hornet related signs at Tiger Mountain, which happens to be weirdly where the Cairo radio transmitter is. It's not important information to you, but I noted it when I was reading this article. Someone's been making fake signs, but I don't really understand what the point of it is. We'll tell you what's on the fake signs coming up in a minute. Plus, it's a Thursday, a.k.a. a Blur's Day, so we'll do some Blur's Day messages as well. We'll do all that with the help of this guy. He is, of course, the longtime host of Sultry Saturday with Sandrew, known for his drawings of tall ships. And he's trying out new catchphrases. He's going to, I think, next week start most shows by saying,
"Hey, hey, hey."
He is Andrew Walsh, and he's joining me right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
Oh, good. I'm glad my new catchphrase isn't problematic at all. That's what I love about it. That's cool. Super,
it's you impersonating
cool.
Fat Albert?
Yeah. You know, just a nice little... Let's start off this day with a little Bill Cosby imitation from yours truly. Hey.
Well, now that's a drop. Think about that.
No, it is not. No, it is not.
Hey, hey, hey.
By the way, I'm excited to tell people how they can submit their 1 minute talent show videos to us, which I will do in just a second. But I did want to say we need to come up with a show title today that is not Andrew related. I feel. Did you
Hold
get
on,
it?
Sorry, I just got the fly. Yeah.
Did you actually get it?
Buddy's in here too.
Yeah, but then his buddy came in to like grieve him.
No.
I'm trying to get his buddy. Sorry. Keep going.
Let's see here. What was it? Yesterday's show title was Sultry Saturdays with Sandrew, as you just mentioned. The day before that, we had a prayer for Andrew Meany. I feel like, and as the person who types these in and the final arbiter of show titles, I'm starting to feel like an egomaniac. So we need to come up with something Luke-centric or at least neutral territory today.
How about something Luke-centric?
All just, right. We're already off to a good start.
Something,
something, Luke, something. How about that?
I like it. I'm writing it down. Right. Something, something, Luke, something.
While you do
hey,
that,
I want to say at the top of the show, I just want to say we're thinking about all of our listeners who live in Minnesota and also our listeners who are people of color and are, I think, very rightfully grieving. We should all be right now grieving the death, I would say the murder of George Floyd. And Andrew, you had said we have this all call that we go on, and well, we don't. I'm usually on a jog, but you call into this 8 p.m. Thursday morning meeting. And of course, the headquarters are in Minnesota, and we've got a lot of our friends and colleagues that are on that call that live there. And you were telling me that it was, I think, for you and I being in the Northwest, it's a little hard to wrap our minds around what it feels like for people in that part of the country, and then also people throughout the country who are people of color and are observing what continues to happen between law enforcement and people of color. So I guess I just wanted to give a nod to that. In fact, you know, yesterday we were – just to kind of speak to the extreme whiteness of my experience, it's like I see the images and I actually haven't brought myself to watch the video. I feel like I understand what's in the video. I just can't. I don't know. I can't bring myself to actually watch somebody get killed by the police. But because I'm here in Bellingham and because I'm trying to chase these flies out of here and I got other things going on in my mind, it's not at the front of my mind maybe the way it should be. And we did an interview for Livewire yesterday with a guy named Michael Arsenault, who's a great writer, has this great book out called I Don't Want to Die Poor. And at the end of the interview, he just sort of said casually, you know, I enjoyed talking to you guys, but I have to be honest with you, I didn't really want to do this today because I'm just completely just destroyed by the George Floyd issue. And he happens to be a person of color as well, Michael Arsenault. And it was just like, I'm just la, 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 let me make some radio. You know, this needs to be 12 minutes long. I got to re-ask that question so that our editor Melanie can make, you know what I mean? I'm just in that world. And I'm talking to a guy who must feel like his life, and we've had that thing happen in Central Park where that woman was trying to call the police out on that bird watcher. There's nothing I can add to this conversation that's meaningful. But sometimes I'm struck by how lucky and privileged my life is that I don't have to worry that when I walk the streets, the police could just literally kill me.
Yeah, and I was talking to you a little bit about this before the show today because we're not set up as a podcast as a couple of middle-aged white guys in the Seattle area to delve into these things, and I don't know that that's what the listeners necessarily want from us. I think they want us to be honest, and the honest thing is, you know, as a human being, I did take a little walk yesterday, Luke. It was a one walk day. It is funny. Uh-huh. We were getting into those competitions about how many walks we were taking. Boy, I went on one walk this month, and it was yesterday. It was about a half mile. I think I'm ready for my marathon. But I'm taking a walk, and I'm sort of listening to a podcast, but really I'm thinking about these stories, right? And I'm thinking about George Floyd, and I'm thinking about things I'm reading from friends and people I follow on social media who are people of color, and I'm thinking, you know, I got in trouble for saying this one time, but most people would agree that relatively speaking, Seattle is a very white city when you compare it to other other metropolises in this country. And, you know, I'm taking my walk and I see a person of color, like kind of walking in front of me for a while. And I'm thinking about this story and I'm thinking about how being black means you, especially on a day like that, you have to carry your blackness around with you in a way that I don't as a white person, you know? And it was a thought that was echoing things I was reading online. Like, you can go, and I think I'm thinking of something my friend who listens to the show either posted, or this is her direct quote, which is just like, you can just go about your life and everything is fine as a black person. And then suddenly something like this happens. And this is what has to consume you for, I mean, not just emotionally, but also practically, and talking to your kids about it. And talking to white people about it, and all of these all of these things, and
it's being on the APM call, being one of the like few people of color on the APM Zoom call,
exactly. Who we're talking about, a colleague who during the meeting today just said, "I don't really want to talk about my show right now." He's a producer, and he's like, "I, you know, rest in peace. That's all I have to say, and that's all I'm going to say right now." So anyway, I don't know what all of that means. Oh, well, I guess what I was building up to is, so I'm going on this walk yesterday, and I'm thinking about this, and I'm getting somewhat emotional.
God, you keep bringing up this walk.
Well, I mean,
half a block,
like,
okay.
4.5, I'm sorry, 0.45 miles is what I meant to say. I should get one of those little ovals for the back of my car that says like 0.045.
I love it.
Anyway, so I don't want to make it, and I know that you have moments like these too, so not that you and I don't think about these things or internalize them or have real feelings of rage and sadness and despair and hopelessness about them. But then, yes, then we slip into our world where we put on our headphones and we put a microphone in front of us. And I like what you said about like, oh, this has to be 12 minutes long or whatever. And I sort of felt like today I woke up, we have a lot of stuff that we're working on for the TBTL-a-thon. And the first thing that I thought of wasn't necessarily George Floyd, because maybe that's my privilege not to, you know? And then I'm going about my day, and then I hop on this call with colleagues, and, you know, we don't interact with colleagues all that much, and now I do once a week.
I try to do it as little as possible.
I know, and now I do once a week, and I told you, like, sometimes, you know, big meetings, departmental meetings, no matter where you work or what your job is, they're not always beloved, you know? Some are better than others, but they're is something about them that ground you or remind you about the other people in the world. I think I was very much just in my own head thinking about what I had to get done this morning. And then I turn on the Zoom call and I look into the faces of a bunch of people who are in Minneapolis. And it reminds you what is actually going on in the world today. And it makes it a little bit harder to be a chuckle monster on the show, which is what I describe myself as on my business cards.
Oh my God. Oh God.
Did I stick the landing on my emotional?
I mean, Chuckle Monster. Chuckle Monster is, I may never forget that.
I quit.
Until the day I die.
I quit. Can I get a job where I don't talk into a microphone?
I spent yesterday, honestly, toggling between the news of what's been happening in Minnesota and then also watching this launch that was supposed to happen with this SpaceX rocket we talked about on the show yesterday. And I was realizing something. It's just like, I think the last time I watched like the launch of a space vehicle was probably like the Challenger or something, you know, how like when we were kids, and of course that was a tragedy, but like, remember being a kid and you'd be in school and there was going to be a shuttle launch and you would like watch it in school? Remember that being a thing?
The only one I remember is the Challenger, and I believe I was in third grade for that, so the memories are a little bit fuzzy. But I don't know if we did it every time, but we definitely did it because Krista McAuliffe was on the rocket.
Right, the teacher.
They're on the shuttle launches.
I remember it being a thing where we would watch it in school, or if it was happening before school, I'd like, you know, watch it on like a black and white TV at the house or something. I remember it being kind of a big deal. And then, you know, well, one, we haven't done anything like this in a long time. That is, trying to send humans into space. It's been like 10 years, I think. And the technology has changed so much, not just for the rocket, but for the watching of everything. So I'm just sitting here actually doing work, you know, one of the various jobs I have. But I realize, oh, that launches in like a half hour. And so I just go on my phone and I go on Twitter. And it's, of course, trending. It's like the main hashtag. And then I click on the hashtag, and I like it was some weird like direct feed of what was going on. And I just thought, I have so much access to this event right now from my phone that I'm just – side note, there's two computers in front of me, but for some reason I'm doing it on my phone. Who knows why? I have three screens going in here.
You're surrounded but, like, by screens.
I really was yesterday. And but then it was like I could kind of pick up the narrative. And so what it was they basically had to decide – you know, it's obviously hours-long process to get these two astronauts into – the I'm just going to call it a rocket. I don't know if that's the technical term for it, but into the, you know, control center, the cockpit. It's also weird because this whole thing is automated. Like they if everything when they do finally blast off, if everything goes right, these guys don't even have to do anything. Like it's just, you know, they could fly this rocket to the space station with no human. They're just like the cargo, basically. I mean, they're obviously highly trained. I'm not trying to disparage their skills, but it's crazy to think, and it's all touchscreen too, which is kind of weird. That would make me nervous, by the way. It's like You're adult with like a funky touchscreen at a Chipotle. You're like, you know, do I want this to be what controls the rocket ship? But you know, obviously they've got a lot of redundancies and safety stuff built in. But anyway, I just thought it was so cool that I was able to just and you could just see these two dudes' faces as they're just sitting there kind of, and they're like in this sort of reclined position. Like I was just thinking, what's going through their mind? And then I'm like, I know that there's weather calm is going to come back with the sort of final go no go in like 2 minutes, so there's a countdown to that point. And I just like really want the weather guy to come back and say on the radio, we're all systems go. But then he comes back and he's like, yeah, we're not going to be able to do it. And then the guys are kind of bummed, but they roll with it. And then it's like, and then they just go like, I forget what the exact terminology was, but they were like engaging abort protocols or something. And then they just like start, you know, doing whatever they're, and then I actually just turned it off because I was like, well, now I know it's not happening. But I was like, I had a real, I felt very much like a fly on the wall in this whole thing. And I thought that's got to be really cool for kids now to just be able, because when I was a kid, you would just see, it would just be the space shuttle would be sitting on the launch pad from far away. And then it would be, you know, I don't know, Charles Kuralt or something just narrating what was kind of happening. This is just so much cooler now what you can do.
Yeah. I wonder if they have that lack of sense of control when, I mean, I don't know, man. If you had to go into space, would you rather, I don't, just give me like a dummy throttle or something to hang on to so I at least think that I'm controlling this thing.
Well, it's funny because even the original moon mission, right, I got into that podcast see if I can even find it so I can give it a specific name check. It's 13 Minutes to the Moon. It was a BBC show. It was really, really, really good. And it was about basically the you know, first mission to the moon. And that whole like rocket and the lunar module, or like the thing that was going to go down and land on the moon, that was all in its own way sort of automated too, oddly enough. They had this like incredibly sort of rudimentary but effective kind of like computer system running the whole thing. And because a lot of the stuff that it's like, you literally, like, the human brain can't understand, like, it can't execute a lot of the stuff that you need to execute because it has to do with physics and knowing where you are in space and time in this way that our brains just aren't really able to understand. So basically the moon mission was also sort of autopiloted, but with these memory ropes that they had, these textile workers in Massachusetts, these women who basically worked on, like, I don't know what, rugs or something. They were like braiding these computer ropes that were what actually somehow ran the moon mission. It's nuts.
Oh, wow. You mean like braiding the like the cables, or the type of like the material that protects like cables?
I listened to this podcast and I Googled this, and I think we even talked about it on the show, and I still understand so little about it. But basically the computer system was the processing system or whatever, the computer system was made of these ropes that were like, I'm doing such a bad job explaining, just everybody Google it and then you don't have to be annoyed with me. But the way they described it on the show was really interesting, and clearly my brain didn't grasp the whole thing. But they got these women, these textile workers, to basically braid these sort of rope things that served some extremely important part of the computing processes of the moon landing.
Fascinating. Yeah.
I thought that was the sound of you Googling it and bailing me out of this nightmare.
No, no, I'm not. I'm not Googling. I'm not Googling it. I have a limited. I have a limited number of things I'm allowed to Google during the show. Did you hear about that? That came up in the meeting today.
No. Apparently,
yeah.
What?
It's part of. It's part of the cutbacks at American Public Media. It's like we can only afford 5 Googles per show now. Turns out our show.
What
has
about
been
a Bing
using,
though? Can you get a Bing in there?
Bing. There has been talk about moving to some more Bings. Much more affordable. Much more affordable. You can do 10 Bings per show or 5 Googles.
Apollo Guidance Computer. Sorry, I just used up one of. I used up one of our Alta Vistas. The Apollo Guidance Computer is a digital computer produced for the Apollo program that was installed on board each Apollo command module. It provided computation and electronic interface for guidance, navigation, and control of the spacecraft. Let's see here. I'm trying to get down to the part about the ropes, and I'm not seeing that. But yeah, just Google it, and you guys will be able to read about this yourself. It's fascinating stuff. But yeah, I was legit kind of bummed out that the thing didn't happen yesterday. But as our friend Jen Andrews said. Because she was very into this on Twitter. She said, okay, Saturday, I'm also available to watch a space launch. It turns out I don't have that much going on.
Right. So
we are going to have a lot going on next week. We've got, of course, the TBTL-a-thon. Let's stay together. Andrew and I quarantining in a safe, undisclosed location. We're going to do the show 9 a.m. Each day, West Coast time. You can listen at tbtl.net. Andrew's been working, as has our friend Kiki Lolo and other folks at APM to get this all set up. So you'll be able to go to tbtl.net, 9 a.m. West Coast, Monday through Friday, and click on a player and you will hear the show happening. We're going to take phone calls. Then we're also going to be doing these hangouts. And I know you're creating kind of a template page for all this because there's a lot of different times and time zones and things to remember. So where is that all going to live? Is that all going to be at tbtl.net eventually?
Yeah, hopefully it'll be there by Friday and we'll have all the details for this stuff. But for the meetups, it's pretty easy to remember. It's going to be 6 p.m. in whatever time zone you're in. We'll do Monday East Coast, Tuesday Central, and then Mountain on Wednesday, and then Pacific on Thursday. And then we will have an international call as well. That's going to be, I think we said, Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, and everybody's going to kind of figure out where they live and how that works out for them. But that'll be a lot of fun. And the point of that is, and Luke, this was your idea, which I think was beautiful, which is show and tell. So everybody bring a beloved object. It's the best part of grade school, right? Bring a
or
beloved.
Something you hate.
Oh, that's true. That's maybe more interesting. Huh?
I mean, I'm just saying it could be something you've always been meaning to throw out, but you can't bring yourself to do it or something.
Could be a tick that you surprised you on a Saturday when you
were
even the one
who went. Yeah, do you have that
still? I do not, but I have a picture of it. Can I show and tell a picture of a tick? I think I already did that
sure.
on the website,
it's
actually.
Your, it's your dime.
Now, Luke, what about
the rope memory is a form of read-only memory for computers first used in the 1960s. Software written by MIT programmers was woven into core rope memory by female workers in factories. Some programmers nicknamed the finished product LOL memory for little old lady memory.
No. I'm actually getting a note from Molly at Brains On. She says that now they can't Google things for the rest of the week. So I hope it was
worth it, man.
God,
that was going to kill me. Like, do you ever find yourself describing something, whether it's a movie you actually saw or something about core rope memory, where you realize as you're trying to explain it, it sounds like you have no flipping idea what you're talking about. And of course, that's true, but it literally sounded like I had never, like, I'm talking about a concept that I had no experience with. And it was like, I just retained so little of the details other than, oh, that's cool. Like, other than that, I couldn't tell you hardly anything about it. And so I just had to. Sorry, Brains On. Although I did record.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be stars. Yeah.
Old Long Red. I was portraying some part of the eyeball for an episode, as were you. Now, here, let me ask you about that, Andrew.
Yeah.
Speaking of possibly problematic voiceovers, like how you like to start the show often.
Hey, hey, hey. It's
like,
not fair.
So my character that I got was called Long Red. And Long Red is kind of like a jazz piano guy. And the producer for Brains On said, you know, you can just kind of do your normal voice. And I recorded these lines in my normal voice and it sounded so weird. Like the only way for it to not sound weird was like for me to put a little bit of like a Dr. John spin on it, like a kind of a jazzy guy with a kind of a little bit of a gravelly voice. And I literally said on the recording to the producer, I got to put a little bit of acting on this, and it's, I'm kind of going to go Dr. John. And I specifically cited Dr. John because he's white.
Oh,
because I did not want it to sound like I was trying to do an impression of a person of color. So I had to make sure that I was establishing with the Brains On producer that this kind of a little bit of New Orleans in my voice, that was not an impression of a person of color from New Orleans. That was an impression of Dr. John from New Orleans.
Now, I don't know if you are.
And then I said, Zataran!
I don't know kind of if you are weird. Protecting the producers there or misremembering it, but they actually did give you a bit. I'm not. I know my pattern. I know it sounds like I'm building up for a spoof here. I promise you this is not a spoof.
I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah. Can I say this?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the instructions, when the producer, Manika, asked us to do these voices, I think for your character, again, these are jazz musicians, she said, you know, maybe something like the voice of the ghost of Duke Ellington, like in the TV show Big Mouth, which is, you know, like another, you know, jazzy voice. And that's actually Jordan Peele, who we are just one degree of separation away mm-hmm. from, which really excites me. Thanks, Wynn.
Well, you were until you started doing this.
Hey.
Now you're moving way further away.
So in a certain way, the producers did specifically say, hey, we're looking for a voice like this, you know?
Right. But that was what filled me with...
Right.
That's what filled me with fear, because I was like, it's not going to make sense if I read Long Red as, I'm Long Red, and when you see something orange, I make the most noise on my piano. Like, it would not make sense for me to be that way. The Duke Ellington thing is voiced by a person of color. I'm trying to find a way to make this character interesting, but also not do, I don't know, black voice? Is that a thing?
It is a
thing. I just wanted to be not doing that. So yeah. Anyway, everybody tune in to Brains On this week for the most problematic episode they've ever done.
Hey.
Back to the thon. All that information is going to be up on the page as soon as it can be worked out and coded in, and we have to run it through some core rope memory. But next week is going to be a lot of fun, and it's really going to be a chance for us to connect with all of you via Zoom and via the taking calls on the show, and then we're going to have this talent show on Friday night. I think at some point 2 hours ago, Andrew, you were starting to talk about the submission process for the TBTL talent show. So let's get back to that. How do people send in their 1 minute or less video of their talent, their kids' talent, their pets, what have you?
Because that's another note that I got from our bosses that said, try to start the show with process talk as much as possible, Andrew. If Luke tries to like kind of tell an interesting story, try to interrupt him and say, but I want to talk about the process. And here's the process for submitting your 1 minute TBTL talent show submission to us. This is going to be a tough email to remember, so please get out your pens and pads of paper and write this down. TBTLtalentshow@gmail.com. That's TBTLtalentshow@gmail.com. And, you know, just take a 1 minute video of you singing your favorite song with your acoustic guitar, or if you want to, you know, like you had a good idea, Luke, maybe you got some kiddos in the house who have a little performance they want to put on. Just keep the video to 1 minute and email it to us at TBTLtalentshow@gmail.com.
And then Friday night, the 5th of June, we are going to celebrate the sort of end of the thon, because the other thing we're going to do next week, hopefully, is raise enough money that we can keep doing the show. So that's also an important part of it. And we're going to kind of celebrate that all with this talent show that we're going to broadcast on YouTube with lots of videos of all of you, hopefully. So, you know, mark your calendar. There's going to be a lot of Burbs and Walsh in your life next week. If you're like a P1 to this show, if you can't get enough of our hashtag content.
Hey.
Next week is going to be morning, noon, and night. Luke and Andrew making stuff for you to watch, listen, enjoy, interact with. So it's going to be an interesting week, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And are we going to live stream the video of us killing each other by the time, you know, the end of day Friday rolls around?
I was wondering about that. Like, because we have had, I thought, really good luck with these adventures we've been on for other TBTL-a-thons we've had really good luck with just getting along, like no major meltdowns, which I always attribute to your just general kindness in the world. Not so much that I'm the greatest, you know, travel partner, but I want, so on the one hand, this seems like this should be a piece of cake for us. Like, we're staying in a location where we will each have our own bedroom. And so, I mean, that alone is like fancier than a lot of the stuff that we've done in the past.
I'm going to need to actually, though, did I tell you this? I'm going to turn mine into an exercise room. So I'm actually going to need to sleep in your room.
I can already see this is going to be a nightmare. No, compared to like trying to hitchhike, you know, along the Mississippi River or drive through the Outback or whatever, like this seems like it should be doable, but maybe that'll be the time. Maybe that's the problem, because maybe in those other, or even in the RV, we're just in sort of survival mode. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have time for petty grievances. But now, because we'll be in a relatively stable location, maybe that's when this really could be the TBTL-a-thon that just tears it all apart. In fact, that was my idea for my third best idea for the name of TBTL-a-thon 11, burn it down.
TBTL-a-thon 11, TBTL will tear us apart again.
As it goes. Yeah, sure. Are you you into that Joy Division stuff?
Is that Joy Division? I wasn't even sure who that was.
New Order.
I thought it might have been Morrissey. I don't know, man. So yes, I'm very into it. No, I know that song. Somebody put on that's a very famous song. Love will tear us apart again. Who is that? Are you looking it up? Oh, wait, don't look it up. Oh, no.
Somebody call the slowdown. Tell Tracy Smith to get off of the Google so that we can Google.
Anyway, it will be.
Love Will Tear Us Apart Again is by Joy Division.
It is Joy Division. Okay, and I think you said that. But, not to get I don't know if we should extend this conversation about us getting along.
Are you really worried?
No. Well, no, not really. I'm not going into this with any ill feelings towards you at all. I don't have any hang-ups or anything for a change. It's not a real concern. Although I was telling you before the show, and I don't know how much I should admit this, like I do think some weird things are happening to my brain that I – am kind of attributing to like this quarantine situation in this world. And I think everybody kind of goes through waves of how they're feeling about shit these days. But the wave I'm going through right now is like complete dottiness. Like, I straight up missed a meeting the other day, which I know people are like, yeah, I've missed meetings before, but I can't explain it. Like, we had scheduled the meeting, you, me, and some people within the membership department, like 2 hours prior to this. I was like, yep, I can do that. And then I was sitting here at my desk. Like, I can't explain it. There's something about missing a meeting when the computer that you needed to be in the meeting with is sitting right next to you the whole time. You know, I just forgot it was happening. I was just sitting at my desk working. The other day I was, when we were handing out bags of food for Pop-Up Kitchen, I realized like 5-10 minutes in that my car had been running in the parking lot the whole time. Like, the car is not part of this process, by the way. It's just I park the car and then we hand out these bags of food. But suddenly I was like, well, who has their car running? And I realized it was me. I left my car running. Like, did I tell you that story? Like, these things
No.
are happening in my life where I feel like today I almost forgot about the morning meeting. Genevieve said, don't admit this to anybody. Here I am. I'm only admitting it to you, Luke, and 10 of our best friends. But I am actually I feel fine. I don't think I'm overwrought. I don't know what's going on, but I am getting anxious about these new holes in my brain, and I hope they're just circumstantial. And so anyway, because of that, I don't know what to expect anymore from me. Like, maybe you'll just look at me and make a joke and I'll tear your face off. I have no idea. Be careful. Keep me away from bath salts.
I think that I think it has to do with anxiety. And I think it's because, like, there's a bunch of stuff happening next week that we've never done before. Even if we were to take the show on the road, which of course we wouldn't do right now, that wouldn't be socially responsible. But in the years past, there's the logistical side of getting from point A to point B, but the actual shows, the doing of the shows, are pretty straightforward. We would, you know, be in maybe a motel room somewhere. We would record the show in the morning. You'd put it on the internet, and then we would just make our way to the next location. It's a fairly straightforward process. This is totally different because, like, we're streaming all this stuff. We're trying to do an like online talent show that's broadcasting on YouTube. There's just a we're taking phone calls. There's a bunch of stuff that we've actually never done before. And my guess is that that is making you a bit nervous because you just want it all to work. And of course, you want us to raise money so we can keep doing this for our job. And it's just causing your brain to scramble a little bit. That's what I think.
Yeah. I hope so. We will see what happens on the other side of this. But all worry about my brain grapes aside, I am looking forward to this. You're right. I get stress. I get kind of anxious about, you know, kind of any big project. But I am like looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I was actually kind of giving myself a pep talk the other day. And I think you're much better at this, Luke. Maybe you would say you're not. But like the whole point of this week, as we've been discussing it for months and months and months now, and when we came up with the ideas for these activities and as we've been discussing it with the listeners, is like this is supposed to be fun. Like this is going to be as much about us just being real and hanging out and connecting with the folks who support the show and listen to the show and have been for years and years. And the bottom line is this is all supposed to be fun, not just for us, but for the listeners as well. And it's not going to be fun if I'm just like kind of stressed about whether or not the mini to RCA cable is loose. You know what I mean? I need to get loose. I need to get loose like that cable, Luke.
But listen, you said I'm better at this than you. I don't know, man, because like I have had to have the same pep talk with myself, which is like it's going to be okay, basically. Because where I spin out is, what if like, you know, what if the technology doesn't work, so we can't take the phone calls, or like we can't, you know. The streaming breaks down, or the talent show is technically not feasible, or you know, like what if everything goes wrong and then people are disappointed in us and then they don't donate to the show, and then APM says, well, sorry, this was fun while it lasted, but now you guys, you know, we don't really need your services anymore. Like I really start to spin out, and then I just have to tell myself it's going to be fine. Whatever happens is what is going to happen. We're not curing cancer. We're not like this is a fun show. I like that people like it. I want to get to do it as long as possible. But whatever happens is just what happens. Like, but I'll just get this like tightening in my chest of just like worst case scenario on top of worst case scenario on top of worst case scenario. And I will tell you this. This sounds like I'm trying to sort of reconnect this back up with me casually mentioning that I've been pretty regular with my jogging schedule. But I will tell you that the days that I am the most not in a good mental place are also the days when I don't get out there and do my jog in the morning for whatever reason. And I'm wondering if taking more walks would actually help like emotionally regulate you a little bit. I don't mean that to sound like, I don't know, I'm trying to like tell you what to do or lecture you, but I just know in my own life, if there's a day where I don't get out there and exercise, there's like some physical difference in my body, and I am much more prone to having many more intrusive negative thoughts throughout the day. That's something that I've personally noticed.
Yeah, I definitely am not getting enough exercise, and that's definitely the case. And the part of it, like yesterday's walk was really nice. Genevieve is like, wow, because when Genevieve goes on a walk, she goes, we live right between two beautiful parks. We talk about Green Lake a lot, but we also have Ravenna Park on the other side of us, which is a much more wooded area that's got a creek. A little mini river. I call them mini rivers running through. I mean, just really, she loves to go there and watch the birds. But I also know that those are places like people on a nice day say, I'm going to go to the park. And that's what people do. And I think I'm in my head about being around people. And so instead I am like kind of going, I don't know. I've been very busy for starters the past few days. I've been like, I got to get outside today. But then just another thing comes in via email. Another thing comes in over Slack. Something happens. And next thing I know, it's 6 o'clock. And can you take a walk at 6 o'clock? Yes, you can. What else can you do at 6 o'clock? You can crack a beer and not take a walk. Yeah. And, you know, I've been doing that. And none of that builds up to positive results. And I need to get out more. But I also think that I have a hang up about getting out more. It's really weird, Luke. I keep on having – we think about the things we miss from the before times, right? And more than a lot of other things, I've been finding myself when my brain just relaxes thinking, I should go to the gym. And I don't think it's about getting exercise. Genevieve laughed at me because I was trying to explain this to her yesterday. I'm like, I'm not having that thought like I got to get buff again. And Genevieve looks at me and she's like, yeah, you don't have to get buff again. When was that? Did I miss that? But anyway, it's not even about like I need to get back into this routine because it's healthy for me or because whatever. It's kind of like it was a good routine that I was in, and it was like it was really great. I was going almost every afternoon. It was my Dan Lebatard time. I had just routines built around it, and I know it's, you know, we can make fun of. And I do heartily make fun of the people who were protesting the gym closures by exercising outside of a gym, thus showing that you don't need a gym to get exercise. So I understand that there are all types of things in my home, outside of my home, that I can do that would be physically more healthy for me. But leaving my home is also, I think, tied up in a lot of just weird emotions and going outside and wanting everything to be normal. But then the first time you see somebody, on the sidewalk with a mask, or the first time you grab your mask to go outside, you're like, ugh. Like I just have a lot. And it's not the masks. I'm not making a statement about the efficacy of masks here or who's wearing them and who's not. I'm just talking about them as a symbol and a reminder that everything's fucked. Sorry.
I can't believe that was one of the lines they wanted me to do for Brains On.
I know, but you know,
everything is just fucked.
Anyway.
Hey!
I apologize. I'm sorry. I keep doing this today. I'm gonna just let you take over the show.
No. I think people appreciate when we're honest with them, the listeners. We're honest about where we're at with things. It's really the only thing we have going for ourselves on this show. So I would not want to interrupt that. We do need to take a quick break though, and then when we come back, I want to tell you about Toyger breeding, and we've got some Blurs Days to do as well. So stay with us. This is TBTL.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
This article by Alexandra Marvar in the New York Times, "You Thought Your Cat Was Fancy," tells the story of this woman named Jean Mill, who decided that she wanted to basically breed a leopard spotted cat. It was like a house cat, but that looked exactly like a leopard. And she had a cattery in Southern California, which, by the way, until I read this article, I had no idea that a place where you breed cats is called a cattery. Had you ever heard of that?
No. Isn't that in this cattery? Isn't that in a song?
Get it. Is it a Mary J. Blige
Yeah,
reference?
That's who it is. Thank you. I'm sorry I put you on the spot. Yes. What is it? In this dancery? Anyway, go ahead.
In this dancery.
Yeah.
Mary J. is in the house tonight. I'm going to make you feel all right. So this woman sets out on this lifelong mission. She invents this breed of cat called the Bengal. And then her daughter, a woman named Judy Sugden, decided to carry on the legacy. She grew up observing and assisting with the Bengal breed. Despite having a degree in architecture, she realized her true calling was at the cattery. I thought, well, gee, I don't want to be an architect. Really, she said, I want to design a beautiful little cat. And so she then dedicated her life to breeding this particular kind of cat called the Toyger, which looks, I'm going to say, not exactly like, but a lot like a tiger, except it's, you know, a house cat size. They're like $5,000 a piece. And this article goes on just to talk about this whole, and you know, Alexander, writing in the New York Times, points out early and often that, you know, animal rights groups like PETA are very down on any kind of, like, you know, this sort of breeding, because their point is that you should go get a rescue cat, because there's lots of cats that need rescuing, instead of paying $5,000 for some mini tiger that can walk around your house. So, you know, that's, I'm sure our listeners too are mostly fans of adopting animals, because there are many animals that need a good home. But that being said, this article goes on to talk about, it took about 20 years for this woman to actually get the Toyger declared a champion cat breed by the International Cat Association, also known as TICA. In 2007, a Toyger made the cover of Life magazine. TICA's president said at the time there's going to be Toyger fever. Apparently this is a thing now. They profile this other guy. His name's Anthony Hutcherson. He's 45 years old. He's a political speechwriter, and he's a Bengal cat breeder and former protege of the mom who was breeding this cat. I find people want things that make them think wild right away, he said, from his cattery,
which is called a Jungle Tracks in southern Maryland. High contrast patterns, dramatic overall color, and look and proportions of a leopard or an ocelot would have. Of course, Carol Baskin also makes an appearance in this article, Andrew. She is called Toyger owners selfish. She says creating new breeds is strapping a nuclear warhead to the feral cat problem. And so this is, I guess, a sort of a slightly controversial thing. I was just fascinating reading this article because there's all these hyperlinks in the article where they talk about other animals that have sort of cross-pollinated in the wild. Let me see if I can find that part of this article, of course, because I'm now reading this because I printed this out and I'm reading this, Andrew. I don't have the hyperlinks, but I can tell you there's the beefalo, which is a buffalo cow. That's apparently somewhat controversial. There's the liger, of course, bred for its skills and magic. People who love Napoleon Dynamite will get that reference. And then this thing called the Groller Bear, which is a half grizzly, half polar bear. And there's a link in this article to this. There's a writer who I'm a big fan of. Her name is Eva Holland, and she writes a lot about Alaska and the Northern Territories. I think she lives in the Yukon or something. She wrote this amazing book about this like a blimp, like Hitler's blimp, I think, that went down somewhere over the Arctic. Again, you would think I didn't read the book, but I really did. Anyway, I really like Eva Holland's writing, and she wrote this whole article about Groller Bears, how they have basically found somebody killed one, and they were like, what kind of bear is this? Grizzly bears and polar bears have been breeding in the wild, at least in some places. And check this out. Groller bears are much worse at swimming than polar bears. Like they got the, I mean, I think a grizzly bear can swim, but like a polar bear is really, really good at it. So they like kind of, they get some of the qualities of the two bears that are combined. And if you think that maybe this is a good thing, that if nature is healing, it's actually apparently bad, because with the polar bears being endangered, what's going to happen is if Groller bears become a thing, and Groller bears actually have a little bit more, because there's more grizzly than polar bears. Eventually, you're going to have fewer and fewer polar bears and more Groller bears. The whole population is going to turn into Groller bears.
I was wondering about that, to walk out on some thin ice, not unlike a Groller bear. I do wonder what the kind of evolutionary kind of perspective on this is. Like, would the Groller bears in a certain way just, you'd think that if they're, if they're kind of like the lesser traits of a polar bear and grizzly bear, that maybe that they would die out anyway as a sub-breed. No?
I think that the thing is, because the grizzly bears are more there are more of them out there, and they seem to be, you know, their habitat is at least slightly less under threat than the polar bears, because they think this is happening because of climate change and because there's less like ice. You know, the polar bear population is under tremendous threat. They think, yeah, I don't get the sense. I mean, she interviews, Eva Holland interviews some kind of science person in her article who didn't mention that part of it, the idea that the Groller bear would just sort of like die out on its own because they're just not as good at being alive. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounded like it's actually the kind of thing where you're just going to, you might potentially see more and more Groller bears and fewer, and eventually polar bears' only mating option would be with a Groller bear. Also, by the way, they found evidence that a narwhal has mated with a beluga whale, like, because they're kind of close together on the evolutionary chain. Narwhals, of course, have that horn. So they found some kind of narwhal beluga whale love child. The other thing that I found out about this is when these different types of animals sort of breed in the wild, the defining characteristic of if it worked or not, of course, is if the offspring are fertile. Because, I mean, you might be able to get somebody – you might be able to get two animals that sort of breed, and it even actually works to impregnate the one of the animals, but if their chromosomes don't line up, then the offspring won't be fertile. But if the offspring is fertile, then you're looking at a whole potentially new line of like animal
and name. So I'm actually looking, and they,
I mean, let's be honest, that's the fun part of this.
Yeah,
whole
they
thing.
Call it a,
it's fun to
narluga.
Say
narluga. I don't know if you said narluga, but I just did a
I didn't.
A quick search, but it, I don't know if it says it in
you
your article.
You hopped up a few narlugas last
yeah,
week.
I know.
On the show. Got listener Aaron really
I
mad.
I know. This has become such a hip thing. I wonder how listener Aaron's doing. Aaron, you know it's all in good fun, right? I hope. Do you think Aaron's still listening? Probably not. Yeah, but you got the, what is the best name, though? I got to say, I kind of like the – I mean, It's kind of gross. I don't like calling animals by their meat names, but beefalo is kind of fun to say.
Beefalo is a fun. I went to the beefalo website, and it was weird though because it's a really cute animal, and then their whole sales pitch for it is that it's like, you know, they're trying to make the argument that it's somehow superior meat because it's less cholesterol, it's less fat, and maybe that's all true. But this is where I'm sorry, I don't want to get on any kind of soapbox. I saw this TikTok video last night of a baby cow running up to its owner, like bounding out of – it didn't even seem like a farm. It seemed like somebody just had a big yard, and they were like, come on over, like on their deck or something. And then the baby cow runs across the grass and sticks its little face through the slats of the guardrail of the railing, and then they're licking the owner's hand. And I mean, again, I'm just talking about my journey. That confirmed for me that I'm probably not going to be a person who eats beef – maybe for the rest of my life. And the same thing with this beefalo. The beefalo is really kind of cute. And then it's like, and then right next to it is a picture of beefalo steaks.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like,
I'm there now. I'm actually looking at that. Yeah. You're on the homepage. You're like, oh, there's me. And then it's like, here it is all chopped up in bags. And
yeah.
I'm
this
a meat
is what
eater.
We do to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And again, I don't like, I'm not trying to act judgy. People can decide what they want to do in their own life. But for me, it's something weird about like celebrating an animal and then also being like, and then we're just going to, you know, end its life and now we're going to eat its parts. Although, you know, animals eat other animals. So it's like, I don't think there's something inherently wrong about eating animals. For me, it's just the whole system by how we get a lot of this meat feels to me like a bad deal for the animals. That's what my issue is. But again, I'm not trying to sound overly judgy. The process, by the way, of trying to create the first toyger was kind of crazy. This woman like goes to India and gets maybe she was even in Kashmir. She goes over to that part of the world and she like gets these like the kids in a neighborhood to find her like a feral cat that has like the markings that she thinks are kind of good. And then she breeds it with like a cat that's not a full on tiger that would like, you know, wouldn't work, I don't think. But she finds this other cat that's like pretty large. And so let me see if I can find that part of the article. Like she basically started this a long time ago with these. Let's see. Oh, here we go. She traveled to India, enlisting the help of local children in Kashmir to find a stray house cat with just the right markings. She named him Gemma Blue and brought him back to California, where she introduced him to a prized Bengal. In a generations-long process she calls squinch-by-squinch development, she inches ever closer to the perfect toyger, enticing her best felines to mate naturally and chasing desirable traits while monitoring for the emergence of genetic disorders.
I just made the snort noise. Sorry, I can't get out of my head about that. I just made the snort noise while you're talking. I hope it wasn't picked up too loudly on the microphone. I love saying toyger. That's all I have to participate
in. I know. Well, that's like a line from Austin Powers. I believe that I think this character of what is it? Gold member? Who has this weird accent would say toy like a toyger. Like that was a line from, I don't know which one of maybe the third Austin Powers movie. I used to always say that as a joke to Addie because we loved those movies actually. Mm-hmm. And now it's a real thing. Toyger. It's
hey,
very fun to say.
Hey, Gorgle, what's a toyger? All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your
so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun. You can be number one.
All right, here we go, my friends. It is indeed a Blursday. And Paul says, longtime listener, first time Blursday contributor here. I've been a loyal daily 10 since way back in the day, and I want to wish myself a happy 58th Blursday. Happy Blursday,
hey,
Paul.
Happy 58th. Rudy, by the way, just came in the room for this.
Oh.
She loves Blursdays. She's that, you know how you keep getting like an email that's just mostly paw prints that says, whatever you do, don't get rid of Blursdays? Mm-hmm. Those are probably from her.
Yeah, maybe. As a matter of fact, can I skip ahead? I never skip ahead. I never skip ahead. Here, this is from Marina. Speaking of the controversial Blursday segment, Marina says, I'd like to wish a happy 65th Blursday to myself. I've been listening since 2010 when my friend Michael suggested that I start listening. Back then, a friend of Michael's wrote into the show requesting that Luke wish him a happy birthday. Luke complied, but there was incredible backlash. Why? I can't answer that, but we well-wishers persisted, and now Blursdays exist. I mean, that's what kind of started all this conversation, right? Like, Jen was very anti-wishing people a happy birthday on the air, because then it would turn into a whole birthday segment, which is what we're, I'll say, dealing with now. I mean, and I'm
dealing
the one
with?
Well, I'm the one who then made, you know, years and years and years later said, let's bring it back. Let's do it. Let's lean into it, as they say. But yeah, so it sounds like maybe what kicked off this whole controversy was when Marina's friend Michael, somebody tried to wish him a happy birthday on TBTL. You did it, and a firestorm came about.
Erupted.
That's a better word than came about. Yes, grasping for things and then came up with that.
Dude, all right. I was doing an interview yesterday, and I could not think of the word prolific.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually interviewing prom queen, our friend Leanie. She's going to be on LiveWire this week. And I couldn't – and I just kept using words that were kind of to the side of it.
Mm-hmm. I do that.
And I just kept – like, I just – and I knew – like, I just – my brain could not access the information of the word prolific.
Mm-hmm.
I just – it was just, like, such a mess.
I know that feeling. Anyway, sorry to steal your Blursday thunder. Ooh, Blursday thunder. But happy Blursday, Marina. Happy Blursday, Paul. And how about this from Frankie and James?
How about that?
Frankie and James say, we would like to give a giant Blursday shout out to our one and only mother, Beth, who's turning 43. She's a 10 and showed us TBTL. She is awesome in every way. In quarantine, she has been teaching, cleaning, and taking care of our new Frenchie Turbo. Mom, you're the best. We look forward to doing more fun things with you. We love you. That's from Frankie, who's 14, and James, who's 12.
Cute.
Very sweet. Sarah in Woodinville says, I want to send a Blursday wish to my daughter, Kylie, who's turning 15 on Sunday. She is funny, smart, and beautiful young woman with an... I missed an in there. I was going to try to just go past it, but she's a funny, smart, and beautiful young woman with amazing artistic talent. I love you, K-girl. Happy birthday. It's from Sarah.
Happy birthday, Kylie.
K-girl's a good nickname. Jay says, I'd like to wish my TBTL mama and real mama, Leanne, a happy Blursday. Oh, yeah, this one's going to cause me some trouble, Luke. We'll get to it in a second. Jay says, she is my best friend and a kaleidoscope connoisseur, the smartest person I know, and everything I aspire to be. I can't wait to be playing cornhole with her this weekend. Underwear, mama. And then Jay in a PS said, that's how my family says I love you. It's not dirty, I promise. Underwear, mama. Jay.
Just when it comes right after cornhole, I feel like is
She also I think had a I don't have it in front of me. She had a PS about that as well. She's like, the cornhole is also on the up and up. Mary Ellen says, I'd like to wish myself a happy 53rd Blursday. I've been listening since December. That's like super new in our book, my friend.
Whoa,
that's 6 months,
and we got a noob.
Somebody give Mary Ellen her six-month coin. I'd like to wish myself a happy 53rd Blur's Day. I've been listening since December, and so many of the Blur's Day messages I hear every week are from people who've been listening, quote, since the radio days. Well, I'd like to represent all the brand new listeners out there. I'm looking forward to when I can attend a TBTL live event and meet some of these tens in person. Happy Blur's Day, Mary Ellen, and welcome to the crew.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say crew more. I say gang a lot. I start almost all of my group emails now, whether they're work-related or like group-related for my volunteer work, with gang. And you know why? I'll bet you know why, Luke, if you think about it.
Hey, gang. I don't know why, actually. I mean, I like it. I think it's friendly. I'm, you know, like, are you trying to start a gang? Are you trying to let them know that you're gang-affiliated?
I am a gangster. No, the reason is for years and years and years, I would write, hey, guys, at the top of emails, trying to be less gendered. And I remember there was a time when I'd argue, but guys, I mean, is that really gendered? I just call everybody guy, but it's not always up to the person saying those things, right? And I saw somebody... I mean, I've been writing hey gang now for, I don't know, probably a year or something. I've tried to get guys out of my vocabulary as much. But I did see a funny Instagram or tweet or something the other day where it was a woman who was, I think, tweeting saying, all of my male friends say guy is a genderless word until I ask them how many guys they've slept with.
And oh, right. I saw that tweet.
Did you see that? Did you tweet it? Was it you?
No. I think I saw it somewhere. I think it might have been going, as they say, viral.
I thought that was a pretty good spoof.
Should I stop starting all my emails, hello, men, and parenthetically, and I'm talking only to the men? Do you feel like is that inclusive or maybe a little bit exclusive?
The fact that you send out group emails that say, hello, American men and the fairer sex...
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's going on with the TBTL.
And also the grope emails I send are definitely over the line. Mm-hmm. Those are 100%
well,
not okay.
Use it louder over top of Luke.
Hey, hey, hey.
Beth in Utah says, please give a 45th Blur's Day shout out to Kevin Lynn. It has been a crazy few months with quarantines, toilet paper shortages, homeschooling, lost bike tires, and earthquakes. What is going on?
Huh?
Kevin Lynn, you okay? Let's hope your next year is just a little bit less exciting. Also, happy Blur's Day to our five, Anna, who's turning 12. We're so proud of her and all that she has become. That's from Beth in Utah. That's really sweet. I think Jen didn't want to do birthday segments because she didn't know about this music.
I think you might be onto something because this, although, by the way, I am playing... I realized I was doing this completely mindlessly. I'm pretending to play bass on this fly swatter.
Really I love it.
Because I'm not kidding you. I've been holding this thing the whole time for when they come back. They come back at night mostly. And I just realized that like I was jamming out so hard to this Heidecker sweet bass solo that I was just kind of I was mindlessly plucking these bass strings. I don't know how to play bass, by the way. I was mindlessly plucking the bass strings on this fly swatter.
I feel like a common occurrence with me and fly swatters. I don't have a lot of interaction with fly swatters these days. We actually do have one. But most of my adult life, I've gone without a fly swatter. But I feel like as a kid, they were all over the place. I mean, we had one that was very present in our house because, you know, we grew up in the country and we didn't have air conditioning and windows were open all the time and flies were just a reality. And I feel like a fly swatter is like a bright, plastic, fun-looking thing that a kid would just kind of play with. But also, I feel like there's been a lot of moments where I'm like fiddling with or playing with a fly swatter, then I suddenly look down and I realize, oh, I'm playing around with something that has bug guts all over it. Or at least invisible bug guts. Remnants.
It's a well-designed thing. You know what I mean? The fly swatter. It's simple, but it works. It's like the most effective way to get rid of flies. And we got the same thing going on here. We don't have a screen door. I like to have the doors and windows open pretty much whenever it's possible weather-wise. And we have screens on the windows, but Carrie was not into getting a screen door back in the day. So if the front door is open for any amount of time, there will be some flies that will come in. I have, not to brag, Andrew, not one, but two fly swatters. I have them in different parts of the house so that I may swat away. And they are, it's a very effective tool.
Luke, I just thought of something. It's good. My mind made connections to this. Don't worry about how or why. It's going to seem out of the blue. But there's no chance you can bring Rudy next week, is there? Is that just a layer of complication about, that you can't deal with?
I think it may be more an issue of the rules around the undisclosed location that we're at.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And also, dude, right now, I am not kidding you. Her shedding is ridiculous. Like, practically every single day, I take her out in the yard and I scrape down all the loose fur off of her. And then somehow there are still just clumps of it everywhere. I also now vacuum every single day. I have to vacuum just to kind of stay on top of it. So anyway, I don't know if we want that to deal with in the undisclosed location. But I did think about it because I knew how much it would make your week.
Yeah, one thing I was thinking about was, and I meant to tell you this, when you sent me the test video email to our new submission, TBTL Talent Show at gmail.com, you sent me a video of Rudy, the one that you played on the show yesterday. And I got to say, it really gave me life. I love seeing that dog, and it's been a long time. But more to the point, I'm looking at the clock here. We don't have time for my dogological clock right now. Let's read this blurb. Thursday message from Donna to Laura, a Baltimore 10. Okay. May your day under phase one of unshutting it down America be lightly festive and joyful. Hopefully we can celebrate with you soon. From your techno geek with spreadsheet friend, Donna.
Cute. Wow, so they're opening things up in Balmer, huh?
I guess so, yeah. Washington, I'm waiting to find out what's going to happen because this, officially the stay-at-home order ends for Washington State, of course, the 31st.
Monday.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's the 31st?
Yeah, so then, well, Monday would be like, you know, we got to see which parts of the states are entering phase two, if it's going to be all of them, maybe not all of them. I'm not sure, but I'm kind of surprised that the governor hasn't made an announcement yet since officially the stay-at-home order does expire on Sunday night. Okay, but let me read one more Blur's Day here, but I need to swell.
Okay.
I need to refresh everything. Wait, I'm clean.
How it does.
Clean. Holly in Alexandria says, long time, first time Blur's Day are here, hoping to rep all the folks who don't usually like attention on their birthdays, but I'm so grateful to have a birthday. Why not toot a horn? Do you have a horn, Luke?
Yeah.
Why not toot a horn? It's milestone adjacent, but it isn't every day a milestone these days. Regardless, hooray for me. I'm not tired and emotional right now, just super introverted and trying a different way of being. I love it, Holly.
Hey,
happy Blur's Day.
You.
You're great.
Way to push yourself.
The thing about this song that I love so much is you can just kind of scat anything over top of it, and it's just random noises anyway, so you can't get it wrong.
Yeah. So that's it. That's the Blur's Day messages for this week.
Friend.
Okay.
Yeah. Happy Blur's Day to everybody.
Well, happy birthday to everybody who we're celebrating this week. And I think that last, what was the name of the last person on the list?
Alexandria. That's where she's from. It was Holly in Alexandria.
Holly. In the words of Holly, it is kind of, we should be celebrating every day that we get to be here right now, considering everything that's going on. So thanks for spending part of this day with us. We appreciate it. We're going to be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio, including an appearance from our friend P. Fletch, Phyllis Fletcher, kind of kicking off the TBTL-a-thon festivities, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Fletch is going to announce what the thank you gifts are this year. So
yeah.
That's going to be fun.
So tune in for that. And then the weekend, and then you and I will be mounting up like regulators at our undisclosed location next week. So anyway, have fun the rest of this Thursday. Stay safe. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
power out,